Chapter 5, Families, Where We Come From. Mark, 19 years old. The only reason I turned to the street is because my family didn't understand me. My father was never there for me. He went off and never took responsibility for me and my family. I want my son, who is now 2 years old, to see the world differently, to have what I never had. I want to show him that there's a place out there for him besides the street corner and gang life. I want to show him that gang life doesn't make you a man. I want him to know that education, a good home, family, and friends are the key to a happy, successful life. I'm going to give him the kind of family that I wanted but never had. In order to figure out how you got to this place, it helps to look at where you come from. No family is perfect. Even the family that looks perfect has its own struggles and challenges. But for some people, their family could not provide the very basic kinds of emotional support and safety that kids need. Maybe your family had to deal with a parent who was in jail. Maybe there was violence in your home. Or maybe your mom or dad was out of the picture and you grew up in a string of foster families. Whatever the deal was, we hope that some of the sections in this chapter speaks to you and your family experience. In the next chapter, we'll deal with how drugs and alcohol affects families. Families almost always trigger powerful reactions in us because they are some of the most important experiences in our lives. Families shape how we feel about ourselves and how we see the world. Many of you might still be going through a lot with your family right now. We hope that reading this chapter and the book will help you feel more at peace about your family life, even if you cannot change what goes on in your home. By healing some of the emotional wounds now, you might not have to carry them around for years to come. And most importantly, the better you understand the patterns and history of your family, the more power you have to break cycles of unhealthy behavior. Can the apple fall far from the tree? Sarah, 16 years old. I always hear that I'm just like my dad, especially when I'm mad or being stubborn. My dad can be really harsh, and to the outsiders, he looks scary and mean. He has made a lot of mistakes in his life, bad choices. I have really tried not to be so much like him, but sometimes it's hard. I want people to see me for who I am, not just see me as being just like him. Some of you might have heard the saying, the apple never falls far from the tree. Other sayings mean the same thing, like, he's a chip off the old block, they're cut from the same cloth, or like father, like son. What do these expressions mean to you? For most people, the point of these sayings is that you end up acting like your parents or the people who raised you. That brings up some big questions. If your family members made bad choices, does that mean that you have to follow in their footsteps? A lot of times we look at the people in our families and see that people all have the same color eyes or love of music. Sometimes we see a pattern of addiction to drugs or alcohol, fathers not raising their children, or people getting involved in bad relationships. Although these patterns might be true for the past, they do not need to predict the future. One young man named Tony told us about how his mother used to throw hot water on him when she was really mad at him. Every time she did this, she would scream that he was a no-good piece of shit, just like his father. Tony grew up believing that his dad was bad and he was bad too. The way his mother made it sound, Tony had no choice about it. She made it sound like he was born bad because of who his dad was. But as Tony got older, he learned he had the power to make his own choices, no matter what choices his dad made. Take a deep breath and repeat these words. No matter what my family has been through, the strength and power within me can never be destroyed. Histories of abuse and neglect. Talking or even thinking about abuse or violence that happens in the home is no picnic. Many people try to close the door on those memories and never bring them out into the light. But as you may have figured out already, the hurt and pain we suffer in our homes does not just magically vanish by not thinking about it. We can try to run from those memories and shut them out by drinking or drugging, but often they stay around like shadows hanging over us until we face them. Experiences of abuse and neglect shape the way we see ourselves, and those memories color the way we deal with new relationships. It is possible to leave painful past behind us to clear the road for a loving and peaceful future. But first, you need to heal the pain in order to really let it go. Be patient. Healing the pain of abuse can take time. It usually doesn't happen overnight, but just by reading this chapter, you have made a great start. Give yourself credit for being strong enough to do that. As you read this chapter, it is important to remind yourself that any abuse in your home was not because of who you are or what you did. No matter what happened in your family, kids never deserve to be abused, neglected, or harmed in any way. If this happened to you, no matter what you've heard, it was not and it's not your fault. In a soft voice, even if it feels corny or weird, repeat the words, "I did not deserve to be hurt." Miguel, 19 years old. The very first violence I witnessed between two people was between my mother and father. I couldn't have been more than 5 years old. I just remember him knocking her to the floor and all this blood rushing out of her nose. She started screaming and grabbing the knife. Seeing that made me feel unsafe, terrified, and unprotected. I felt like I was going to be his next victim. And if she couldn't protect herself, how was she supposed to protect me? Funny how things worked because I was next. In every family, people say things that they wish they could take back. Tempers get lost in their stress. But for some families, things get really out of control. Some families get into dangerous cycles of physical and emotional abuse. This is one of the most frightening things that can happen in a family. It destroys the victim's feelings of safety and trust. It can make anyone who goes through this, especially kids, feel trapped, terrified, and alone. David came from a very violent home where he saw his father beat his mother all the time. The abuse made David hate his father. He used to have fantasies about killing him for all the pain he put the family through. He wanted his father to know the same kind of fear and pain that his mom did. As he got older, David blamed himself for the violent things his dad did. His dad always said that David and his brothers getting into fights and trouble stressed him out, and that was why he beat their mother. David also felt guilty that he couldn't protect his mother. He saw that his friend's dad didn't beat up their wives or girlfriends. Then he felt like a freak, like his was the only family in the world going through something this messed up. Keep in mind that although we have a natural instinct to protect the people we love, children, even teenagers, are never responsible for physically or emotionally protecting people in their family. You may have taken on this role in your family. If this is the case, don't go it alone. Call one of the numbers listed on pages 252 to 255. Or find someone you trust to talk to. Protecting your family from violence shouldn't be your job, no matter how much you love them. Julie, 19 years old. I didn't tell anyone about the abuse in my house towards my mother and me and my sisters because I didn't think anyone would believe me. That's what living in such a screwed up family does to you. You're so scared, even though you're walking around with black eyes and fat lips, you think that no one will believe that you are getting this shit kicked out of you. I was also ashamed about what was going on. My whole childhood was filled with feelings of shame and disgust about myself and my family. But the biggest reason I was afraid was that if I told, my father would kill us all. Once he put my sister in the oven and tried to close her in there when he thought she told about how he beat us. He was crazy. No wonder I was terrified to tell. Eventually, someone called the police and they sent my mother and us kids to a battered women's shelter, like a safe house. It probably saved our lives. No, I'm sure it saved our lives. If you come from a violent family, chances are you've tried to hide it. Living with secrets always takes a lot of energy out of you, even if you are not aware of it. If you find yourself keeping secrets about the abuse in your house, try and get help. Domestic abuse is the bomb waiting to go off. Sooner or later, someone can get seriously hurt. Sometimes people even keep secrets from themselves and pretend that what is going on in their house is normal and okay. They try to convince themselves that seeing their mother or sister being threatened, beaten, or raped is just something your family has to deal with. You might say, hey, this is the way it's always been and we've survived so far. But don't be fooled. If you are living in a violent family situation, get help now. You aren't alone. Thousands of families in this country suffer from domestic abuse. Don't let your feelings of shame keep you from getting help. Get out of the danger by calling a hotline, telling a counselor, or speaking to another adult who can help you. And don't let getting locked up be the way you get out of a bad place and get help. Violence against me. Many kids who get caught in the high-risk lifestyles have been the victims of physical and emotional abuse. The abuse could be from your biological parents, foster parents, relatives, or step-parents. Most of you know what we mean when we say abuse, but let's just go over it quickly so we're on the same page. Abuse is any act that hurts, violates you, or puts you in danger. Physical abuse comes in the form of hitting, punching, kicking, burning, or any other act that could seriously hurt another person. Usually the abuser is larger and stronger than the victim, but not always. Emotional abuse is when people use words or looks to injure others by making them feel stupid, useless, scared, or in danger. Emotional abuse also includes leaving kids alone for long periods of time before they're ready to take care of themselves. Things like throwing out someone's clothes or punishment and not buying them the food or medicine that they need when the money is available are forms of abuse. When kids are not supported, loved, cared for, or when they are left to get the things they need for themselves, it is called neglect. While it might not seem as bad as being hit or punched, it can cause just as much pain and suffering. Sexual abuse happens anytime someone who is more powerful than you gets you to engage in sexual behaviors. Sometimes someone older takes advantage of you sexually, but you agree to it. This is still sexual abuse. Sexual abuse can include kissing, touching sexual parts of the body, intercourse, or oral sex. Even if the sex felt good to the child, and it sometimes does, it is still sexual abuse. Even being shown pornography as a kid or having people make sexual comments about you is sexual abuse. This can make you feel guilty and like you asked for it. Remember, an adult never has the right to sexually touch a child or a teenager. No matter what you did or how you felt, you are not responsible for the abuse that you experienced. It happens to guys too. Although many people believe that only girls and women can be the victim of rape or sexual assault, this is not true. Many boys and young men have been victimized in this way. You might be ashamed and afraid to get help to deal with your feelings about being sexually abused. You might be afraid that what happened to you means you are weak, homosexual, if you aren't, or damaged goods. None of these things is true, and you are not the only one who has had sexual abuse happen to him. Just as with any form of violence or abuse, sexual abuse is extremely traumatic for the victim and can be more confusing and terrifying than being beaten or robbed. If you have been the victim of sexual abuse, it is important that you reach out for help. You are not alone. It happens to guys more than you might think. Discipline or abuse? Ever been told that you were the worst, most hard-headed, most disrespectful kid in the world? Well, even if these descriptions fit your behavior, it didn't mean you deserved to be abused. We'll say this over and over because you might not believe it deep down. Maybe you need some serious discipline or rules, but never abuse. There's a big difference between discipline and abuse. Discipline means setting boundaries or limits and guiding your child to learn right from wrong. You might not like discipline, but all kids need it. Children who are disciplined learn that the world is safe and fair. There are rules. If you break them, there are consequences. Abuse is taken out of your rage, anger, disappointment, and frustration on your children. Children who are abused learn that the world is dangerous and cruel. They get the message that they are useless and not worth protecting. They begin to see themselves as damaged goods. Remember, being abused does not mean that you are really any of these negative things, even if that is the message that got sent to you. How abuse affects kids. Maybe you don't even think of some of the things people did to you as abusive. Or maybe you know for sure that you weren't treated respectfully and you're angry. People have different reactions to abuse and neglect, and all of these feelings are legit. The real point of this chapter is helping you deal with your emotions and discover your strength, no matter what has happened in your past. Marta, 16 years old. I was sexually abused by my uncle since I was 7. I don't remember exactly how it started with him touching me. He was always buying me presents and telling me how I was his special angel and what a beautiful girl I was. The abuse went on for a long time. I know it was wrong, but part of me felt like it was my fault for letting him touch me. So I kept quiet. I was scared to tell. He said that it would kill my mother if I told. He said that she wouldn't believe me and she would throw me out on the street. And he said that nobody would want me after they found out that I let him touch me. I felt dirty and kind of sick in my stomach. I blamed God for letting this happen. I thought my life was ruined and that nobody would marry me if they found out my secret. It's been some years now, but it's still hard for me when I think about it. Sometimes I get angry about what he took from me, how he could do that to a little child. Thank God I have people who believe in me and help me. Some of your feelings might be really intense at the time of abuse, like extreme fear for your life, rage, numbness, shock, and terror. These feelings might change over time. Many remain long after the abuse has stopped. Others might not come back until years later after you have your own children and see your abuser again after a long time. You may have felt some of the following feelings at one time or another. Shame, fear, anger, resentment, frustration, hopelessness, used to it, ruined, loneliness, humiliation, like you deserved it, like you didn't deserve it, confusion, rage, regret, disappointment, unfairness, sadness, and disbelief. Steven, 19 years old. My whole childhood, I felt scared to death. I never felt fucking safe. I felt terrified all the time. I was always anxious, never knowing when I was going to be punched in the face, spit on, backhanded for laughing at something. Every day felt like it was my last. Six-year-old kids are not supposed to worry about dying, but I did. I felt worthless. I could never do anything right. I felt a lonesome emptiness and helplessness. I hated my face, my eyes, myself. My whole life I felt weak and with no confidence. But mostly, on an everyday basis, I was scared to death. I had nightmares. I was in hell. Some kids ask, why me? What's wrong with me that would cause this to happen? The answer is no matter what happened, the abuse was not because of you. It was about your abuser. Physical, sexual, and emotional abuse happens because your abuser was not able to deal with life in a healthy way for whatever reason. It is not because there is something wrong with you. Take a deep breath and repeat these words. No matter what, the abuse was not my fault, and the goodness within me cannot be destroyed. How abused kids sometimes act. Here are some stories of how abused kids acted. Even though Mark was smart, he had trouble in school because he couldn't concentrate or pay attention. It felt like his mind was always somewhere else. He had problems with almost all authority figures who reminded him of his abusive father. By eighth grade, Mark was skipping school most days. Pilar found it hard to make friends because she didn't want them to find out about what was going on in her house. Although closing herself off from people seemed like a safe choice, it left her feeling lonely and isolated. Shawanda was physically and emotionally abused by her mom and stepfather. For most of her life, she had a history of getting involved in high-risk behaviors. The thrill she got helped her feel more in control of her life. She always did drugs and drank to forget what happened to her at home and to be pain-free even for a short time. Ricky acted out the anger and violence he experienced at home on those around him. He abused others to feel powerful. That never happened to me. At first, it might even be hard for you to admit to yourself that you were the victim of abuse. It is often too painful to believe that the people we most want to love or the people we are counting on, like our parents or grandparents, could hurt us. When you look back over your childhood, sometimes it is really clear that your parents' actions were abusive, like if they hit you and broke bones. Other times, the way we were hurt are harder to pin down or point to. But these less obvious kinds of abuse, like being ignored, made to feel stupid, or abandoned by your parent, can be just as painful. These require healing too. Why should I have to think about this? The past is the past. If painful things happen to you as a child and young adult, like being abused, witnessing family violence, watching your parents do drugs, or seeing them go to prison, you are more likely to get hooked up in those things yourself. Many times, people who have been a victim go on to be a victimizer. This doesn't mean that you have to or are going to do these things. It just means that you are at greater risk. Understanding these cycles helps you break out of them. Dealing with painful parts of our past can be hard, but there are often serious consequences if you cope with your past abuse and neglect by using high-risk behaviors. Going to jail, getting sick, or hurting others are a few examples. Although talking about what has happened to you might seem like a more difficult way of dealing with your problems than getting high, it offers you a way to heal and let go of the pain in a much deeper and more permanent way. It offers you the chance to be free at last. Our response is to trauma. Trauma is a fancy word for what we go through after something really painful, frightening, or upsetting happens to us. Think of being in the World Trade Center during the terrorist attack and escaping, or having someone you love die because of the attacks. But trauma can come from things that are way more common than terrorism. Anyone who has been severely abused or has witnessed, seen a violent act against another person has probably experienced trauma. Because trauma is so personal, there is no one way that people feel or deal with it. Any feelings you have because of a trauma are legit and okay. People who have experienced a trauma like sexual or severe physical abuse may feel intense fear or horror. They might also feel numb. The traumatic event might keep popping into your brain over and over, even when you don't want to think about it. The traumatic event might cause you to have nightmares or have trouble sleeping. A lot of kids who experience trauma act hyper or like a motor is driving them. It's almost like they can't slow down. Some people black out or forget the trauma and don't deal with it. These are all normal reactions to trauma. Am I nuts? Some people feel like the abuse they experienced wasn't real, almost like it was in a dream or it was happening to someone else. It can make you feel separate from your own body. Maybe you start laughing when you talk about the abuse you suffered. You might feel like you're going crazy. This is especially true for kids who tell that they are being abused. But no one believes them, or maybe you tell and your abuser denies it and says you're making it all up. This happens a lot in sexual abuse, especially if your abuser is someone in the family or a close friend. It is often hard for a mother to believe that her husband, brother, cousin, or friend could do such a horrible thing. You are not crazy. You know the truth, and there are people who will believe and help you. Trauma does a real number on our brain, and with any deep wound, it takes time to heal from traumatic events. Trauma is a natural response when people have experienced abuse, violence, or have seen someone else experience them. It is often difficult to talk about these events. Our brain tells us to avoid them so we can avoid the painful memories, but this is only a short-term solution. When traumatic things happen, we need to deal with them at our own pace. The process of healing or recovery is different for everyone. At times, you may feel relieved, like you're really making progress. Other times, you might find yourself relieving painful old feelings. This is all part of healing and recovery, and it's all hard work. Usually, our mind will only let out the memories that we are ready to face. That way, we don't get too overwhelmed. Even so, when we really deal with the trauma in our lives, we might feel worse before we start to feel better. Don't let this stop you. The reward of working on your pain is that eventually it fades away. But if you do start to feel overwhelmed, talk to an adult you can trust. Again, you can call one of the hotlines on pages 252 through 255. You can also try some of the exercises in the relaxation and meditation chapters 4 and 14. The first step to dealing with trauma is knowing that you have some healing to do. Although you might be able to do some of this work alone, we recommend that you talk to a therapist, a teacher you trust, a social worker, or any wise, caring adult. If this is impossible, talk to friends who have been through the same thing. Talking about your feelings is the best way to release them from your mind and body. Healing the wounds of abuse is key to gaining your freedom, peace, and power. Take a deep breath and repeat these words. No matter what, the goodness and power within me cannot be destroyed. Family incarceration. Sometimes when families experience drug and alcohol abuse, violence, or criminal acts, jail becomes part of the family. Anyone who has been through this knows. Having a close family member in jail can feel like everyone is serving the sentence. Sometimes you might not even know the truth about where your parent is. Some kids don't find out that their parent was in prison until much later. Many families try to protect the kids from the truth by telling them that the parent went to the hospital or is away visiting relatives. You might hear things in the street, but you might not really know the truth. If your family hid the truth from you, they probably thought they were doing the right thing to protect you. But being lied to can make the whole deal worse. Tony, 16 years old. I didn't want to know the truth about why my dad went to jail. I'm pretty sure he killed someone in a fight. Me and my pops, we don't talk about it. My social worker takes me to visit him, but I asked her not to talk about that in front of me. I mean, I had heard things. It had to be pretty heavy because he got life. People in my family keep saying he was framed. I want to believe that, but no matter what my dad did, he's still my dad and I love him. He's a good man. I know he worries about me. He sees me getting into trouble now and he doesn't want me to wind up in prison. It's even worse him being there because he feels like he can't guide me and teach me the ways of the world. Over time, many kids do learn the truth, and many kids decide they want to see their parent in prison. If you have a parent in prison and you want to visit them there, maybe you can find a relative who's willing to take you. You have never been to a prison before. The first time can be hard. It can bring up a lot of concerns about your parents' safety and well-being. Allow yourself to feel whatever comes up. Ask questions and talk to your parent about your fears. Visiting becomes easier over time. Susan's story. I've been in and out of the California prison system for most of my adult life. In between my sentences, I had two beautiful, intelligent children. Sometimes when I look at them and see how well they do at school, I wonder how in the world they came from me. Over and over, I tried to kick my drug habit. And over, I would let myself and my children down by relapsing. It always happened to me the same way. I stopped showing up from work. Then I wouldn't report to my probation officer. Next thing, I quit going to family gatherings. But worse was when I would cancel my visits with my children with some lame excuse about why I couldn't show up. The real reason was that if I was with my kids, I couldn't get high. Taking care of my children became the last thing on my mind when I was high. As much as I truly loved them, the drugs didn't leave room for anything else. So back to prison I go, a place I knew all too well. Old friends would greet me with a cigarette, and I would catch up on prison gossip about all the homegirls. Soon, the drugs would wear off, and the first thing I started thinking about is my children. Reality hits, and I can't believe that I let them down again. Now all I want to do is hold them in my arms. Sitting in my cell, tears run down my face. I wonder who my children are with and what they are doing. Other women are getting mail and pictures from their loved ones, but nothing comes from me. Then one day I get a letter from my 13-year-old daughter, and this is what it says. Hello, Mom. How you doing? I got your letter today, and I just needed to know a few things. No one stopped me from writing to you. I haven't written to you in so long because I can't stand to repeat things I've written to you in the past so many times before. Mom, you always say that you're not going back to prison and that you will never use drugs again. You know, Mom, I just feel so let down. I'm starting to think that you actually like prison because you keep going back. Is it because there you have no responsibilities? No one to take care of? Is it that you don't have to deal with your problems or the mess you have made on the outside? I think you turn to drugs with the thought that you will solve your problems. Have drugs solved your problems so far? Mom, when are you going to realize that real life is not about drugs in prison? It is about doing your part as our mother. Next week, I'm going to graduate from junior high, and you've chosen to sit in jail instead of on the bleachers like everybody else's mother. Sometimes I feel like I don't even have a mother that I can turn to with my problems, happiness, or pain because you're always running back to prison. My brother and I are so hurt and disappointed. All we ever wanted was to have our mother here with us like the rest of the kids. Why do you keep doing this to us? Do you think we'll just wait for you forever and let you into our lives anytime you want to so you can just let us down again? Mom, I'll never stop loving you, but this is getting old, and so are my brothers and me. So the next time you think you have it hard, think again, because me and my brothers are motherless. After I read that letter, it changed me forever. I sat down and wrote my children a long letter apologizing for what I had done to them. I explained that my problems had nothing to do with them, even though they were the ones who paid the biggest price. I got involved in a 12-step program that helped me deal with my addiction, and now I am in recovery. I realized that I had to stop feeling sorry for myself and take responsibility for what my life had become. Even though I am making changes, I feel like I can't promise them anything. I've broken my word too many times. I have to show them with actions. It's a long road, but I'm going to keep walking until I find my way. I just thank God that they were willing to give me another chance. Despite all the disappointment I have caused them, I think that they can see the love I have for them. A love that drugs can cover up but never destroy. When the anger gets turned against the cops. Feeling angry at the police when someone in your family is arrested is natural. The word may be your parents were framed or set up. Almost everyone wants to believe that their parent is innocent and doesn't deserve to be in jail. Or perhaps you have had your own experiences with the police and feel that there is no way the cops could act fairly. If this is true for you, it is important to make sure that your beliefs don't place you at great risk if you have contact with police. The organization 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement gives presentations across New York informing kids how to respond if they are ever stopped or detained by the police. The most important advice they give is to stay calm and not make the situation worse. Keep your cool. If you're walking around with an enormous amount of rage towards police, it could easily escalate a situation and bring on more trouble. In the end, you pay the price if you turn your anger against the police. The legacy of prison. There is a strong connection between having a close family member go to jail or prison and winding up there yourself. Chris, 16 years old. In my family, every male goes to prison at the age of 16, and I mean everyone. My dad, my brothers, my two uncles, and now me. It broke my mother's heart, too, when I went. And then she was just like, well, he's just like the rest of them. I don't even know how it happened, really. It's just like a curse. You might not think the jail is cool, but there may be some powerful things in your life pulling you there. Here, we aren't just talking about your high-risk behavior, but some of the deeper thoughts and feelings about who you are, what your family's about, the type of future you will have, and how you fit into society. Many young men have told us that almost every man in their family has spent time in jail at one point in their lives. Because of this, they begin to believe that they will go to jail too. Some young men see their future so hopeless that they don't see jail as any worse than life on the street. Stop and think. Take a minute to think about how you see prison. As honestly as you can, make a list of both the positive and negative things about prison. Do you see yourself gaining anything by going to prison? Do you see yourself losing anything? In general, people don't plan to go to prison. They don't sit down and say, hey, you know what? I think prison will really work for me. I'm going to get busted this afternoon. Unfortunately, they don't plan not to go either. No matter how many people in your family have been incarcerated, prison does not have to happen to you. No matter how bad your neighborhood is or harsh your home is, you do not have to go to jail. No matter how badly you have done in school, you have choices. The power that you have lies in the moment-to-moment choices you make. You can choose friends with bad reps or ones who would do the right thing. You can get involved in the street life. You can help out in your community. There's no magic pill or potion. Each day and each moment offers the opportunity for power, dignity, and peace. Choosing to stay out of jail is in each of these small moments. When home is not an option, foster care. Jerome, 18 years old. My mother left me with my aunt when I was a child. My father left me never to return. Not having my mom present when I needed her made me feel alone. Sometimes I wish she walked through my aunt's door, but that never happened. I believe this when I started to get real angry in my childhood. Acting out in school and not listening to no one. I hated the world for giving me parents who showed me no love. My father only lives in the next city. I always pictured him showing me how to handle tough situations and protecting me. Not having any parent to show you the world or how to love or feel. No one to protect you when you're scared. No one to show up and ask you how you feel. It made me feel vulnerable, like I was all alone in dark woods trapped. I felt like I couldn't get out of the situation or face challenges or make my own decisions. I became angry, confused, and desperate, looking for someone to love. It led me to a lot of negative and risky behaviors in my life. We almost never meet kids who want to leave their homes. No matter how bad things get because their mom, dad, or grandparents were drinking, drugging, or being violent, almost nobody wants to leave their things, their school, their bed, and move into a total stranger's house. Even if you are moving in with a relative, sometimes there really isn't enough room or you just don't feel at home. Home might be bad, but at least you know what to expect. And many kids say that the abuse they suffered in foster care was much worse than what happened to them at home. Of course, this isn't true for all kids. Some make lifelong relationships with caring and loving foster parents. Shaniqua, 14 years old. I got taken out of my house because the neighbors called ACS, Child Protective Service. My mother and father was always fighting and carrying on. Sometimes they would go out drinking and leave me alone for days at a time. Me and my little brother got sent to this foster home, and there was too many other foster kids there. The older ones was always picking fights with my brother and stealing from us. The foster mother didn't care. She didn't help us even when I told her. Once, our mother sent some money and clothes over for us, but the foster mother said she never got it. But we know she did because her own kids was wearing the clothes. What it feels like to be in foster care. It's scary to go to a new foster home when you don't know anybody there. I kept thinking that somebody there wasn't going to like me and would try to fight me. I was also afraid that if somebody tried to fight me, I would get really mad and then I'd get kicked out and have to go back to OYS, lockup. I was one of the lucky ones to have a very good foster family. I thank God every day for them. Waiting for Mom. Martin, 18 years old. Most kids in foster care spend their time thinking about when their mom is going to take them back for good. Or maybe they're waiting for her to just visit. In foster care, I lied all the time about my mother. I make up lies to everyone about her coming to visit me and how she was getting ready to take me home. Or how I had talked to her on the phone last night when I hadn't. And how she said that she had called to make sure that I hadn't been adopted because she was coming to get me. I would say that she wanted to make sure that whoever was in charge knew that I wasn't allowed to be adopted. All lies. Everything I said about my mother back then was a lie, except that I missed her and that she was beautiful and that the only thing I wanted was to be with her. Being placed in foster care might make you feel like there's something wrong with you. You might say, if only I acted better, my parents wouldn't have hit me. Then I would be at home. If my parents really loved me, they would stop drinking and getting locked up and come get me. It's natural to feel this way. It's also common to blame yourself for being in foster care, but it's not your fault. No matter what you did, it didn't cause your parents to drink, steal, hurt you, or leave you. Foster care is about your parents' inability to take care of you, for whatever reason. And remember, foster care is not forever. Many people who have gone through the foster care system have gone on to lead happy and powerful lives. You have this option too. Adoption. Rosa, 16 years old. Being adopted was something real sad for me. I was 13 years old when I realized that my mother wasn't capable to take care of me because of her drug use. I called my aunt and asked her to adopt me so that OSS, Department of Social Services, wouldn't put me with strangers that I didn't know. When my aunt adopted me, I went to Puerto Rico with her, and let me tell you, I felt so sad and lonely. Lonely because my mother and I were so close to each other. We shared our feelings with each other, and I was sad that I couldn't see her because I was in Puerto Rico and she was in New York. Now, thank God, we are together again because she has changed her drug behavior, and the change is for the best. Not everyone is ready or able to take care of a child once they have one. Sometimes giving a child up for adoption is the most loving thing a parent can do. Most babies or children are placed in adoption because the parent wants a better life for his or her child. Some kids feel like it's their fault that their parent chose to free them for adoption, but it is not. No matter why your parent decided that he or she could not take you back, it is not because of who you are. If you were placed for adoption without really knowing your biological parents, you might have a lot of ideas about what they were like and why they chose to place you up for adoption. You might also have a lot of fantasies about what your life would have been like if you had grown up with your biological parents. You might think that your life would have been better, that you wouldn't have gotten into trouble, that you would have been loved more. Or maybe you feel angry at them for giving you up. You might also someday want to find your biological parents. This is an issue that is very important. Give it some thought. Talk it over with someone you trust before you do it. As you become more independent, you begin making important decisions about your life for yourself. The more at peace you are with your past, the easier these decisions will be to make. The less you are ruled by the disappointment and sadness of adoption or foster care,